by an evil king, by Ahab. Nevertheless, there's a word of warning here for each one of us tonight that anything that we can trace of God's hand with us in the past is no guarantee for us of how we might finish or what lies in the future. So what we have to say this evening, essentially, has got to do with the Lord's leading in the past. And to God be the glory. I want to read some other verses with you, please. First one in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And verse number 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And the final verse in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word. These two verses that we have just read have been used of the Lord in our own experience in a twofold way. First of all, in coming to Vancouver, he led them forth by the right way so that they might come to a city of habitation. And then, in relation to our exercise for the Midwest, the verse we read from Isaiah 45 was very much before us. I will go before thee and will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And really, we would just like to summarize our comments this evening under the heading of those two verses. First of all, to tell you how we came to be in Canada, and then to tell you how we come to be leaving Canada. We came to Vancouver, first of all, back in 1988 on vacation. We'd met our brother Stan the previous year, and very kindly he offered us accommodation if we came to Vancouver on vacation. We came in May and June of 1988, not with an intention to emigrate, but while we were here, I made some inquiries regarding people that were in the same profession as myself, real estate appraisal, and I went to have a chat with them to inquire about the market here in Vancouver and how things operated and so on. As a result, we had a number of interviews, and the final interview that we had was with a man called Carl Nielsen, and it was on the Thursday before we were due to leave. We were getting the plane home again on Saturday. I was early for the interview, and I remember coming up out of the SkyTrain station at Burrard Street, or at Dunmore Street, I guess it is. I came up through the Benthall Centre and out onto the plaza there where the fountains are, and because it was early, I sat down to have a word of prayer. And I outlined the situation before the Lord, that if it was His will for us to come to Vancouver, well, then he was able to open the door for us with immigration. He was able to provide a job, which was an essential part of that process. When I opened my eyes again, I looked down at the water that was flowing down there and over the vegetation in the planter. And immediately there came into my mind that verse from Psalm 1. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season, His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now it was those last words in the verse that we laid hold upon. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Off we went to Granville Street and had our interview. We talked about the market and so on, and the time was passing. It was time to go. He was no longer a job. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So I took the bull by the horns and looked Carl Nielsen in the eye. I said, if we were sitting here with immigration, could you give us a start? And without hesitating, he looked me back in the eye and said, yes. So that was, to me, a verbal offer of employment. Immigration people were looking for a written offer, but we went back home again. We filled out the forms and put down an extra sheet explaining what had happened, a verbal offer providing we were successful with immigration. At that time, the market was pretty good. Well, it was on an upswing, heading into 89. And that did the trick, and we were approved for immigration. However, just before we come to that, in the fall of that year, it was evident that my father's health was deteriorating. He had been ill for a number of years with his heart. He had heart surgery some 6 years previous to this, and now he was deteriorating again. He wasn't well after the Lorne Conference, and he was hospitalized after the Lurgan Conference in the fall of the year, and was in hospital again in November of that year, 1988. On December the 3rd, he had another coronary and was ushered into the hospital. Now, my mother and father at that time were also renovating their house, and they were living in temporary accommodation. We had been approved at an interview in London early November. But here was a dilemma now facing us. Were we to leave Northern Ireland and come to Canada and leave my mother and my father, at best a cardiac invalid, or perhaps to leave my mother as a widow? The waiting list for further surgery was a year long, and it was evident to us that my father would not last a year. So we brought the matter before God in prayer. And I remember particularly one night, setting it out before the Lord, and recognizing that since he had opened the way for us, giving us immigration, that we should go to Canada regardless. It was only then that we felt free in our souls to ask for my father to be raised again. I should say that the following morning after that, was the very day that the visas arrived. We weren't expecting them until Friday, until February of the next year, but they arrived the next morning. That night again, I brought the matter before God, and again felt free to ask for my father to be raised again, recognizing that the visas had come at such an unexpected time. So I called my mother. We hadn't told anybody that we were thinking of coming to Vancouver. I called her and told her that we had the visas through for immigration to go and live in Canada. They had come through sooner than we expected. And I said, don't be surprised if my father has his operation earlier than expected. Well, she said something then that had me surprised. She said that, yes, they were expecting that. My father was relying upon a verse in 2 Corinthians 1 and 9, making it a promise from God. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. He was relying upon that. That was in early December. Early January, he had his operation, and made a deep recovery. And so we can see that the Lord was pleased to answer prayer in that regard. Keeping our eye on the clock, then, there was the problem of selling the house. And the market was dead. We were in the business, and we knew that things were slow, things were soft. I'm telling you this, incidentally, because you'll be able to see the parallel with our experience that we've just come through. Well, there was a man that came to view the house in early January, and he made an offer the next day, and offered the price. He thought, great, we're on our way. However, he called the next day, and so the house sat, and it sat. Week passed, and the weeks passed, and the house sat on. Well, I had been reading through 2 Samuel, and I came to that verse where David is sitting before the Lord, and he uses language like this. He says, "And now, O Lord God, the word which thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish thou it, and do as thou hast said." It seemed that the Lord was leading for us to go to Canada, but the house wouldn't sell, so we prayed this prayer and used it as a promise. That was on the Wednesday. I note in my diary that I started to use that. The following Saturday, this man that had made the offer previous, a man called Najimsey, he called the office and said he would like to come and see the house again. So he made an appointment for the Tuesday, and along he came and looked through the house, and off he went. That night I had, by this time, come to 1 Kings, got to chapter 12, where Rehoboam, you remember, was taking the advice of the young man. And I was reading in the small version of Newbury, and in the margin of that Bible, the words were these: "For this turn of events is from the Lord, that he might perform the saying which he spake." We had been looking to God that he would answer prayer, that he would carry through what he had initiated, that he would do as he had said. And then we got this verse. The next day, Majimsey rang the office and made an offer. Wanted completion in two months. Problem with that was, I had to give 2 months' notice at work. What happens if we agree the contract and get things in motion, hand in our notice to coincide with the sale of the house, and then he pulls out? What happens then? Mortgage to pay, no employment. But this turn of events is from the Lord. Now, you're going to trust God or not? So on the strength of that, we give in our notice the next day. And God was as good as his word. 2 months' time, the house sold. We left work and arrived in Vancouver on May the 5th, 1989. Now, what about getting to Wisconsin? Well, the first thing that stands out in my mind was the fall of 89. You remember Brother Tom Bentley visited the city, and we had lunch with him one day downtown, and out of the blue, he turned to me and said, "Have you any aspirations for the work of God?" Well, I thought about it, and I replied truthfully and said, "No, at least not at this point. I see my work in Canada to try to be a help as best we can in the assemblies here, and to be accepted by our brethren that have just come to know us." So that was fine. That's all basically was said then. Moving forward quickly in time to the fall of 91. Brother Art Ward and Eric McCulloch, you remember, had some meetings in Carlton. And again, it was another lunch hour, and I met our brother Art Ward over lunch. We were talking about a number of things, including some thoughts that we had about having meetings in the East Hastings Gospel Hall. But again, out of the blue, our brother Art said to me, "You know, you should think about Wisconsin." So I thought that was a nice thought, but immigration to the States is impossible. We'll put that on the back burner. Well, January and February of 92 came, and we had the meetings, you remember, in East Hastings Hall. Meetings in which we were encouraged. There were a number came out from the district most nights. And it seemed that God was speaking, and there were some that seemed to be interested at that time. However, throughout the year of 92, we had ongoing correspondence with our brother Art, and invariably reports would come back from Wisconsin of how God was blessing there in the gospel. And souls were getting saved. And it certainly sounded to be a time of blessing and a place in which God was working. Meanwhile, we were exercised in our own souls about further gospel meetings here in Vancouver. But as the year went on and we prayed to God, didn't mention anything to anybody else, prayed to God about it, left it with Him, there didn't seem to be any opening. And it's not something that you can just say, okay, we're going to have some meetings next week. It's something that you have to have arranged and fit in with other meetings and so on and so forth. There were no openings. But we left it with God. The need in Main Street was obvious. And that was a place which we brought before God in prayer. Towards the end of that year, our brother Andy Boyd said to Wesley Barr, he said, how about you and William Skate coming over to Main Street for some meetings in the new year? Well, we saw that just as an answer to prayer. And so in January and February of 93, we had a couple of weeks meetings there in Main Street, as you will remember. I should say that by this time, our interest in the Midwest was developing to an exercise. But, you know, we just couldn't see how it could be possible that the door would open for us to go to the Midwest. Immigration to the States is virtually impossible, or so we thought. It was just at that time, in early March of 93, that a letter arrived from our brother Paul Medley. You remember the conversation we had back in 89? Well, this is what he wrote. He said, now, what about you? Surely you cannot be oblivious to the need. By now you are fully aware of conditions, events, etc. But I feel it is time that you stepped out and got at it while you're young. I sincerely hope and pray you will have had deep exercise already along these lines. He went on to describe his visit to India and what he had seen there and those that moved in the work in that country. And then he said, I trust the Lord will lay all this heavily on your heart. Well, you know, you may as well have hit me with a brick whenever I read that. How did our brother know what was going on in my mind and heart? The question, when is the time? How can it be possible? Where do we go from here? Those sort of questions. Again, early March, the same month, we saw an advertisement in the paper for a green car to the States. It was special legislation that had been brought in. There had apparently been a historic shortfall of immigrants from certain countries to the States. And they brought in this immigration which would short-circuit the process of immigration for individuals from certain countries. Canada was one, Northern Ireland was another, or Ireland was another, and Northern Ireland was guaranteed a certain section and segment of the allocation for Ireland, if you can follow along. So we got the forms and we filled them in and left it with God that if it was His will that our names would be selected. Incidentally, the number globally was 50,000, which is not a big number in the world. So we left it with God in prayer. Now, the deadline, as far as we understood, was June 93. If we hadn't heard from the immigration authorities, by June 93, our application, so far as we understood it, was dead in the water. Well, June the 30th came, and we had nothing. So what are we going to do? It seemed that, well, here was an opportunity for God to work, and he wasn't working. So again, we brought the matter before God in prayer, left it with him, the question, what is the way? How do we go forward from here? Remember one night in particular, it was July the 8th, 1993, a Thursday night. Brought the burden before God. It was one of those occasions, you'll know what I mean, when it was help to pray. And you knew that you'd got through, you knew that God had heard. Just before going to sleep that night, I was reading through Psalm 143. And here's what verse it said. It said, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. The whole psalm seemed to mirror the burden of my heart, and in particular this verse. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Well, I went to bed expecting to hear in the morning, July the 9th, just what was the right thing for us to do. Friday morning came, July the 9th, and there was nothing. The weekend came and went, there was nothing. Into the next week, still there was nothing, until the Wednesday morning, there was a letter came through the letterbox. Ethan said to me, there's a letter here, and I said, who's it from? She said, it's from Art Ward. Well, that's interesting. Tell me, what is the postmark on the letter? He said, it's July the 9th. It was the Friday. Now, in that letter, our brother Art was, again, telling us a blessing in the gospel, souls getting saved, and then he outlined the need for workers in this country. It seemed to me it was an answer to prayer. Then again, we hadn't heard, how could it possibly be? It wasn't until October 93 that we got the big white envelope from the immigration people. We had to get our papers together and then arrange for an interview. Time was of the essence because you were not guaranteed a visa. You had to get the stuff in and then, take your place in the lineup. Whenever that event happened in July, Ethna had said to me, well, why don't you go and pay them a visit sometime? But then at that point, we didn't know how it could be possible. Well, we had another letter from our brother Art about that time of the year, and it was an invitation to go and join him in some meetings in Wisconsin. So, as you know, we went in the early part of this year to Waukesha, for some meetings where there's a new work going on, souls have been saved in the past 18 months. And incidentally, that work is still going on. The momentum is still there. A couple of young men in their 20s in the past couple of weeks have been saved, and their teenage sister as well. It seems that God is still working in that area. And we hope to join our brother Art to labor in and around that area of Waukesha. And it seems that the Lord may be leading towards an assembly being established in that location. So we came back from Wisconsin and there was a hurdle to overcome. And that hurdle was, in my mind, a big hurdle. It was the brethren in Woodland. What would they say? So we had a chat with them, talked it over, and they indicated to us that they would be happy to commend us when the immigration came through. In the meantime, we had our documents got together and letters from a number of assemblies in Wisconsin indicating to the authorities, the U.S. consulate, that we would be welcome to that area and that we would not become a charge to the state. That was essentially the wording or the content of the letter. So we had the the interview, as you will remember, in July of this year, July 21. We went along and it was a difficult interview, but the next day we had the visas granted to us. It seemed that we were past, as it were, the first ward, the Brethren in Woodland, and now the second ward, the Immigration Authority. But now there was the iron gate that led to the city, there was the sale of the house. The same old problem. And you know the story, house, wood, and cell. But God is able, and as you know, the iron gate has opened, and it seems that God is calling. The way has opened before us, and we must go. Now this verse that I read just as we sit down from Isaiah 45 was very much before us, and you'll see the relevance of it to our hearts and our experience. I will go before thee and will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Make that the gate of iron. Thank you.